Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Put a spring in your step and fresh looks in your home, in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 0818 715 815 joe at rte.ie and 51551 is the text number. John Thorpe. John, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Give me one line. Give me one line to describe your experience with air.
It's just the one I said. Yeah. I'd rather lick broken glass from the road than deal with air again.
Tom, give me one line to describe your experience with air.
Hell.
Seamus Cavanagh in Sligo, give me one line to describe your air experience.
Disgraceful service.
Maeve, give me one line to describe your air service.
Disgraceful too.
Okay. John Thorpe, licking broken glass from the road, and what happens?
A person came to my door and asked me to change providers.
Yeah.
And I said, you can't beat my present provider. I was paying €49 a bill.
Okay.
And they said, oh, well, your speed's very slow. I said, yeah, well, you own the line. It's your fault my speed's slow. It's not my current provider.
Okay.
So then they continued to check it and say it was slow and all this. And they said, well, the fibre will be coming out, which I didn't know might be happening. And they said, well, if you're not with us, you'll be bottom of the list because you're with, a different provider.
Competitor.
So
yeah.
They said, we'll match what they're giving you and you'll be top of the list then to get fibre. So I said, okay, and I signed up. So my bill at the moment is £59.29 on average a bill. And okay. At the time, it was £49. So the first bill I got from was €860.
From air?
For one bill, yeah.
And did they say why?
Well, I was on the phone to them. As you know yourself, probably, or people know, you're on the phone for an hour on hold. So one of the biggest things to come out of it was that I'm quite unlucky.
That
was one of the reasons. So the other one was, and I do have the form that I signed, and so I signed up for things like unlimited UK calls after 6 p.m, unlimited calls to, just want to make sure I get this right, 100 minutes to any Irish mobile I have at the moment, but it was something along those lines where you get these free things in with it. So one of the things on the bill was that I had been charged for all of those things. So over the space of, say, 3 weeks or something, we finally got those taken off the bill because he said, yeah, that was our mistake. It's not because you're unlucky. And then they said, oh, yeah, there's €125. Now, I'm not exact on that. It was around that.
Okay, don't worry.
Because you cancelled your track. So I said, well, I opened the letter with an €860 bill in it, and I immediately cancelled and went back to my other broadband provider, who then sent me a bill for €49 the next month.
Okay.
Like, there was no way I was.
Okay, you say I kept ringing air, which is normally a dead air, a 1 to 2 hour ordeal. I got the bill down below 200. Then they start threatening to take me to court. What is this with air and stubs?
Yeah, well, basically, I got the. They said that I signed up, but the day I signed, I had to pay for the previous 2 months' broadband as well as the next 2 months. So that was 4 months of broadband I was charged for. That's just because of the way they bill, apparently. Or they did. I've checked them now. Okay. I don't think they do that anymore. But anyway, so I got the bill down to 200 and something or 199 something. Then they started threatening to bring me to court on numerous occasions.
For how much? Because we heard yesterday, they were threatening the Stubbs Gazette. They were actually putting people in Stubbs Gazette for minuscule amounts.
No. They said, like, we'll see you in court.
It was what, sorry, your line?
To be honest with you, I was going to go.
To court.
I was, my children, I have two children, and you know, life goes on, and I just kind of said, you know, do I need all this hassle anymore? And I just paid the money and moved on.
Okay.
But they did want to bring me to court, definitely, yeah.
Did you buy Telecom Air...
For 200 quid.
Yeah, did you buy Telecom Air and shares back in the day when the government were had us all walking over the cliffs of Moher dressed in white to buy them?
I bought £2,000 worth.
And how much did you get back?
I got €700 off.
Yeah, says it all.
The company that
says
it bought
all. It. Stay there, John. Tom, good afternoon. You say, okay, yesterday what happened?
My final bill was paid yesterday with Air, because I just had enough of them overcharging for a paper bill. They charge €8 a month, €5.99 for the paper bill to be issued to me, and €2 because they won't pay them direct debit.
So when you say, I don't want to pay direct debit, they charge you €2, and obviously the opposite to direct debit is, or the alternative, is a paper bill, and they charge you €6 for that as well.
And €6 for that as well, Joe. So I questioned it, and basically told me, go direct debit, and paperless billing, you don't have the charge. End of.
And you got a bill for €300 plus. What was that about?
My contract was up on my daughter's phone, and the broadband contract was up. And they never rang to tell me that they were up, so they all went up to the not discounted price. So they took, and I have two more phones, mm-hmm. So there was three phones and broadband on that. But they were supposed to be all unlimited.
Okay, just, John, you've raised something in my head, Tom, that I want to ask John Tarp. John, were you sold the product door at the hall door, were you not?
I had brought the person into the front room.
Well, that's what I mean. Now, yeah. Did that person give you their mobile number?
No.
Okay,
and the other thing, when I made the first call about the complaint, they said, oh, have you got the white sheet of paper you signed? Now, I didn't have it. I put it somewhere safe, which I tend to do and not find things then. But I have since found it. And the person who sold it to me, they had to put their name down the bottom. And they just put three letters of their first name. They didn't even put a second name like Connor or Delaney or something.
Yeah. Okay.
That was all I had. The thing was absolute. It wasn't really worth the paper it was written on. Apart from where I signed, you know.
Maeve, yeah. Now remember, Oliver Looms was on before this broke yesterday in court, and he must have known it was going to break. Before this broke yesterday in court, where the judge labelled the way Air were treating their customers as disgraceful, the way Air were treating their staff, threatening them, according to a manual, threatening them with disciplinary action if they gave out the correct number for the complaints department and the correct email address for the complaints department, and also a list of trigger words, and if these words were not used in the complaint basically went into the bin. Oliver Looms, this is before all this said, the CEO of Air, now owned by a French multinational, it's been through a number of iterations over the years, money, but he said that they're down to 27 complaints a month. Well, Oliver, if you're listening, please ask for more, because we're getting 27 complaints an hour about Vodafone, and have been for a long, long time. What happened to you, Maeve?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Last Monday and Tuesday, first of all, Monday, the broadband got cut off to a business and household premises here, so the one. Tuesday, then, we discovered then that the phone line had been cut off. Through numerous phone calls and many attempts to try and figure out why this happened, eventually we were told that it was due to a bill that wasn't paid, an outstanding bill, from last November. Now, the bill was paid in December. Granted, it was a few days late been paid, but it had been paid. And January, February and March, they stopped the broadband each month. My brother got on and then got it reconnected, saying, look, the bill has been paid. They then seen on the account saying, oh, yeah, actually, that bill has been paid. Okay. Sorry about that. We'll reconnect you. So then this just Monday, yesterday week, I came in to work. No broadband, no thing. My dad lives here on his own. He had no broadband, no television, no internet connection at all, nothing. Then Tuesday morning, then the phone line got cut off. So obviously we got on to them, and this was what we were told. And I was actually told that the line had been terminated, completely just gone.
And along, hang on, the landline, for example, how long have you had that phone number?
The landline is attached to this premises for over 50 years, and never, ever has there been an issue with a bill being paid or not been paid.
So the landline would be known to a lot of people.
It
was there
for
over 50 years.
Absolutely, yes. Now, I had an engineer come out to me today, sent by air, that they told me it would be at least, well, it could be 5 weeks, but anyway, they put it on, they said we'd do an emergency call out to you and set you up with your line, a new line, on the 16th. Anyway, the engineer came out today. He couldn't, he was baffled because he was putting in, he thought he was coming to a new place, a new line. I said, no, I just need my old line reinstated. He says, I'm not, he says, this is not, they've given me this new number to attach to this premises. And I refused it because as with the whole rigmarole of trying to get back onto them, which I did get back onto air when the engineer was here. And they told me the only solution is for me to accept this new number and then to reapply for my old number to come back to attach to the premises. And I refused it because I said, I'm only going to be passed from Billy to Jack and back to him again and going round in circles with them. And still getting no further on. So now we have nothing. We have no line connected to the alarm system, which gives an outlet that if there was intruders here at night, that there's no way of contacting the Gardaí or my alarm company. That's, you know, that the alarm company that is assigned to alert family members that if, you know, that a dad could be in trouble. And that's just where we are at the minute. So I don't. I just we're in limbo.
So you're actually, well, your father must be at his wits end. At his wits end. Yeah,
yeah, he is, and he's lost all his little kind of lifelines. He likes his, obviously, you know, connecting into results on his broadband of different sports and things that he's.
And he likes
with.
A land. He likes a landline. Don't tell us
and
what
his landline. Yeah. He can't. Yeah, yeah. His sister actually couldn't. His elderly sister couldn't get through.
There was a case brought up in court yesterday where a woman could not, because of the difficulties again with air and the landlines and everything else in between, she couldn't dial 999.
That's correct, yeah. And that's the same here. If we have, lucky enough, obviously I have my mobile and he has mobile, but that's not assigned to any emergency service. It would be, but Dad wouldn't be that. He's good on the phone, don't get me wrong, with his mobile. But at the same time, the landline, it would always have been his go-to. For his connecting to the outside world.
This is Oliver Looms. By the way, we've asked him on the programme, but must have been a dodgy line. He didn't get back to us. But anyway, we've emailed him, CEO of Air. And he had a good outing now, in fairness, on Saturday with Áine Cairn, the business programme. We'd love him to come on to talk to his customers who were paying his wages, but that's not to be at the minute. Invitation still stands. But this is Oliver Looms answering questions about the volume of complaints to Air this past Saturday.
Again, I'd have to say, historically, Air did not always get it right. But we're very tuned into that. We're very aware of it. We're interested in that, and we're learning from it, and we're improving. And and I can point to some kind of fairly hard evidence on that. I mean, we used to get 600 complaints a month, and we now have 27, I think, in the last month. So
to Comreg or to Air.
To Comreg, absolutely. So. We have, something like five, and we have 2 million customers. You've got to remember, it's a big business. So I think on a monthly basis, 0.001% of our customers have a complaint and go to Comreg. So it's a fraction of what it was.
It's not, Oliver, I'm sorry. First of all, as we discover time out, people haven't a clue in the main who Comreg is. Number two, when you ring Air and do get through to Air and do try and get your complaint, Air don't advise you. By the way, if you're not happy at the end of the call, if you're not happy with this, this is the Comreg number. So he's Oliver, and I'm sure it's true, his numbers, but it's very hard to see how it could be otherwise. He's saying less than one person a day, every month, so to speak, rings Comreg because they don't know how to ring Comreg. They don't know why, they don't know where, they don't know the number, and are not advised. And as we heard yesterday in court, it's only when certain words are mentioned, such as Comreg, and obviously it's not mentioned enough or often enough, that, by the way, when is the last time you saw a big ad on radio, television, newspapers? If you have a problem with any of the following suppliers in the telecom business, please ring this number. I've never seen it. Seamus Kavanagh, Seamus.
Yes, Joe. I'm probably a bit luckier than your previous, financially anyway, with getting charged. But I applied for a connection in September, October 22. And when I got talking to the customer representative, he asked me about mobiles. And I said, no, we're in contract. No, he says, well, we can do a very good deal for you with mobiles. And I said, well, I'd have to check and see when we're out of contract. And I said, oh, well, we can send out the cards, he said. And until they're activated, there'll be no charge. I was, okay, well, I said, I emphasised that I didn't want to be charged and until I get it all sorted. So my wife had to give her credit card number to get all this in order, and we were sure there'd be no money taken and nothing was done. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it went on, and there was no sign. I was waiting for a connection and waiting for getting ringing up, and there was nothing happening. There were different teams coming out. Nothing was happening. They were telling me just I was within the distance to get a connection. And eventually, in 24th of the 4th, 23, we wrote a letter into Mr. Looms and Mr. Alan Brown, Head of Sales and Marketing, and the Complaints Department. None of them would return a call to us. None mm-hmm. of them made any contact with us. And on top of that, they started charging us for the mobile SIM cards, which we weren't even using. And we had a row, such a hassle with them. It was to and fro. And in the latter end, I had to organise getting the cable from the nearest connection, which is 300 metres away, get it to my house myself.
What?
And eventually, I got it done. I got a connection done with air. And I have to say, up to now, it's not been too good. But last week, I discovered I've been away for a few days and I came back. I won't do a direct debit because they were taking money out of my wife's thing. She had to cancel her card because of they were taking money out for the SIM card, the mobile SIM card. So I said, I'll only pay a paper bill. And last week, they're telling me now, because it was late payment, I'm more than €20 more. It's a disgraceful service. Mr. Looms and all these people are obviously living away in fairyland because
You say, Seamus, 10 air teams came out to the house.
About 10 air teams came out. They were the subcontractors. And this problem and that problem and the other problem, they couldn't get the cable in and they couldn't do this and couldn't do that. And, like, there seemed to be no one.
How did you dig a hole, so to speak?
No, I got actually got someone to.
But that's what I mean. Who dug the hole?
No, we did it, a friend of mine and myself, and we got the better of getting the cable within reasonable distance of my house, which wasn't a big job in the beginning, but they made a big job out of it. It's not so much that, it's the service in general. Every time you ring up here, there's no one knows what's going on. My up until the end of last year, they still said we had the SIM cards for the mobile phones. They were sent back 6 months beforehand. No one knew where they were, nothing.
Yeah. Here's Oliver again answering questions on the business programme last Saturday. Oliver Looms.
We now answer our calls within 2 minutes. We're transforming, and I'm not saying we're perfect. You've always got to be hunting and looking for areas to improve. So, you know, we're investing in better billing systems, for example, etc. So that people always have accurate billing systems, bills, etc. So, you know, it is true that there's kind of some legacy stuff, but we're fixing it, and it's good now, I would say.
And if you're answering calls within 2 minutes, how much of that is actual humans and how much will you have to increasingly rely on AI, chatbots, artificial intelligence, machine learning to automate some of this? Because you can presumably predict a lot of the questions and problems that are arising day to day for customers.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I say, the first thing is, just to say, we do have more than 500 AIR employees around the country talking to customers when they call in. I am interested over time in how we use AI, etc., to, you know, make sure that you get a better answer to customers quicker. You know, all customers don't necessarily want to talk to someone. So you've got to, you know, we're very tuned into how we leverage emerging technology to better service customers, to be honest with you, you know. And yeah, maybe that has some cost benefits to the company, etc. But really, it's about always hunting for ways to leave customers feeling better about their experience with Air.
What ways are you using AI, ChatGPT already in Air? Is that already in the functionality that we see a lot if you go in and log in writing a request that the first few responses are automated?
Yeah, well, we do kind of leverage kind of bot technology, etc., to understand what a customer wants to talk about, etc., and to channel them in the right direction. We use AI, for example, you know, in terms of some of our infrastructure, for example, to understand, you know, when can we turn off power, you know, when you've got less usage on your infrastructure, etc., when you can you turn that off to minimize costs and minimize the use of resources. So we're leveraging AI in lots of different ways across different parts of the company.
Okay, thanks, Oliver. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Ursula Rickard. Ursula, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making the call. Tell us your airline experience.
Right, my airline experience is obviously last October. First of all, the bill was always in my husband's name, so they'd never deal with me anyway.
Okay.
But I used to receive the emails from them. Okay? So, obviously, we were selling our house. We have since sold. Okay? We moved out in January. And, obviously, the contract was up last October. So, an email had come. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that week my husband had been away. And I had mentioned something. But then in the heel of the hunt, you know, getting the house ready, packing up to move out, it was forgotten about.
Okay,
all right?
Understandably, yeah, okay.
So, just in like any time that anything ever went wrong with Air in the house, and just say I happened to phone them when my husband wasn't there, no, we can't talk to you. We can only talk to the bill holder. And it used to be so annoying. But anyway, we moved out. I had phoned them to say that we were moving and I needed to send the modem back.
Ah.
And then they had said, oh, you're breaking your contract. And I said, hold on a minute. I've asked Tom, he never received a call, number one, to say, like, you know, are you happy enough to continue on with a new contract again? Oh, sorry, the dogs are messing here. But anyway, so they told me we'd have to pay €506 for breaking the contract.
You would?
Oh, we would. We actually paid it up in the end because we thought, gee, we tried, my husband tried everything. Tried to get talking to a supervisor, no.
Well, did you say to them, like, we're moving house, we're two
we did.
Older
we're
people.
Pensioners.
Can you meet us?
Could you even meet us halfway? No. No.
And did you ask to speak to a supervisor?
We never got a yes, and we didn't get any further.
Yes.
No further. And we ended up actually paying that then in March. €506.31. I'd never go back to them. Never.
Because we asked them a lot of questions, but like, this is one, what are the list of trigger words? Like, we got more information from the judge yesterday and we did from Air today. What are the list of trigger words? The only one they say is these words, which you don't tell us what they are, would typically reflect customer urgency or just, for example, if a customer says, I want to lodge a formal complaint, that's the trigger. But that's the only example they give. That's the only example they give. The only, where's, you know, Barbara? Barbara, thanks, Ursula. Barbara, good afternoon.
Okay, Joe.
Good afternoon.
Thanks, Ursula.
Good afternoon.
Barbara, what
happened?
Good
afternoon, Joe. Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I have been dealing with them since last October, and it's a total nightmare. I'm in credit in their account, and I have been waiting, and they sent a technician out on the 21st of February to try to fix it, but it wasn't possible. It was dropping out. So they said to me I needed a new pole, a pole out on the road.
Okay.
So I decided then that I had enough of this, and they said they'd look after it. So I decided to go to another provider, which I have lined up. But the other new provider, who are very good, cannot connect me because the fault is logged by air, and air are blocking the line into the house. So I got in after your program yesterday and I rang air and said, what's the problem? And they said they'll have to wait for 10 days, that they hadn't a cherry picker or something, but they would have to get permission from traffic control, the corporation, to put up this fantastic pole outside my house. Now, I'm not in the heart of Connemara. I'm in a suburb with, I don't know what is the problem, but I am in credit with them, and the new provider is standing by, ready to go.
But is
I have two providers.
Is there a pole already there, or are they going to have to dig a hole for a new pole?
They have to. This is their excuse, and they could have told me this last October. They have to literally dig out in the road, I'm told, and provide this pole. They have to get track.
Yeah, but surely if you live in a suburb, the place is full of poles.
Well, I thought so, because I'm on a main road,
That's no problem.
But they gave the excuse of something they had in a cherry picker way back, but that has gone by the wall. But the new provider can't get in because air has logged it in their name. So I am waiting now for 10, in 10 days' time, air said they may send somebody out, but it's like up in the stars. It's very, very bad.
And so where do you stand now? Where are you now?
I have two providers, but no internet. I am in credit with air. I had kept my accounts up to the minute, and I could not get a supervisor. So I have no internet.
And did you ask for a supervisor? You did, obviously.
I have asked several times. I even asked for credit on the account last October. But this could have been told, Joe, to me in October. But they dragged it out, and I can't get anyone. But imagine yesterday after your programme, they said 10 days to get somebody out to look after it. So that means I have no internet.
And what do you think of Mr. Looms, the CEO, saying there's only one complaint a day to Comreg about air?
He must be up in the sky, because I am worn out with names of people. I have them all lifted up.
He must be up in the air.
He must be up in the air, Joe. But I am driven nuts because I have two people standing by and yet no.
Well, he's talking. It seems they're looking at our listeners here. I'll parse it and disinfect what they're saying. He's talking a load of hot air. Okay, Barbara, keep going. You need a new pole on your
own. I need it. And as I said, you may be passing by and see this pole being dug up. But God knows, if the traffic could be stopped, the corporation has to be called in the name of goodness for one line.
Sounds like you're putting what do you say? Traffic control, the cherry picker, they have to hire one. They can't get one at the minute. Dublin City Council and Gardaí should be easier. It'd be easier to put a man on the moon.
Joe, it'd be easier to move house.
Nearer the pole.
Oh, listen, I'm tripping mad.
Near the pole, Aunt.
I don't know how I'm laughing, but it's the nerves, I think. I just frowned off at them.
Yeah, as a lot of people are. Okay, Barbara Gurumila. Neil, good afternoon.
Joe, good afternoon to you.
I got another revelation. Tell us, I did not know this. Well done, well spotted.
No. Joe, what's happening, and a lot of your callers have touched on a number of subjects there, and I think that the air they won't tell you, for starters.
Okay.
If you're 65 years of age or older, you're entitled to a free paper bill from
me. Oh, are you? Okay, I didn't know.
And I have proof of that, and I can say, because I've had to ring them up where they've charged me, and I've got the $5.99 reimbursed to me.
If you're 65 or over, you're entitled to a paper bill without paying €8 extra a month.
Well, it's €6. The gentleman was €6 plus €2 for direct debit, but I can cover that separately. The €6 is for the bill, and you're entitled to that bill for free if you're 65 under air policy. But they won't tell you this. I only discovered it there within the last 12 months, and when I reminded them of it, suddenly all my money was returned to me. And that's the first thing. And secondly, Joe, what I'd recommend people do is that if they get an air bill, for starters, I have finished with air and broadband and all these free calls to England and this and that and Coleslaw on the side, because you don't need it, Joe. Most people these days have a phone package, and the phone package will give you 120 gigabytes of fair usage.
Okay.
So what I've done is that I have got rid of my internet completely with air, and I now use my phone, and I go through my internet through my phone, and today my bill is up and I've used 69 gigabytes of the 120. So you can connect to the internet via your mobile phone and get rid of your landline if you're not. And I do look at Netflix, okay? But I'm not an excessive user, but I do use it for work and I do use it for recreation and that. But you can actually save. I'm saving 1,200 euros a year by getting rid of my broadband and landline completely and using my internet, tethering my internet, my laptop to my phone and that, and going through the provider. Okay, and the second thing, another thing that people are, that another caller touched on this, is when you fall out of contract, they won't tell you, but you automatically move up. So the thing to do is to stay in contract. So my contract at the moment now is about 20 euros a month. And that, so that's fair enough. Now, for anybody who wants to stay with Air about this direct debit thing, first of all, it's not an a legal obligation to actually have a direct debit with Air. Mm-hmm. So they're incorrect in saying that. And what I recommend people to do, if let's say, and I'm looking at an ESP bill here in front of me, Joe, which is 198.01, my last ESP bill. Now, I'm a legacy problem, like a lot of older people as a pensioner, is that we're on the two-month bills with Air, two-month bills with ESP, and they all want to get monthly and current, and that's a legacy issue. But what I do, Joe, is I divide my bill by four, and that's it. So let's say Air, and you're paying your Air bill this week, and then you're, so I go down to the post office, my bill is 198, so I have a bill here where I pay 50 quid this week to ESP, I'll pay a quarter of my bill next week to Air, quarter of my bill again to ESP, and over the 2 month period, Joe, I will have cleared both, and I will always round up. So I will always be in credit. So if it's 198, I pay 200. If it's 210, I might pay 220. So there are lots of options for people, but the thing is to be as smart as them and smarter. And get rid of your landline if you don't use it. You don't need free calls to England. You don't need all these things that they're selling you as extras, which aren't. And just tether your phone. It's quite simple. Get somebody. If you're not able to do it, somebody will show you how to do it. It's very simple. Just put on mobile hotspot or tethering and link up to your computer, and your computer does it. And 120 gigabytes is more than sufficient for most people.
And when you said to them, by the way, because Oliver Loom said, oh, it's only one call a day now on average to Comreg about us. But people aren't told they can ring Comreg. They're not told how to ring Comreg. And you're saying even you're not like, surely they have to tell you if you're over 65, you're entitled to a paper bill without a penalty.
Absolutely, and they have an elderly line that they have that they advocate. But if you go into the Air offices, Joe, and you go in, Air offices are only there to sell you something. You go in with a customer complaint, they will not and cannot, because they will direct you to a room at the back with a phone, and you have two numbers there that you can ring, and an option, and there's an elderly helpline there, which sometimes is very helpful and sometimes isn't very helpful, because a lot of elderly people, I was accused once of shouting, it's just the line is very bad, and apparently I couldn't hear him, so I spoke, you know, in a high voice, you know, because I couldn't hear him. But apparently the person at the other end could hear me and then said, please stop shouting at me. But you know, it was just a bad line, and we all get bad lines at times and that. But Joe, there's a whole thing here with Air. I've been having a row with them at the moment. You know, last year they cut me off because they said that I hadn't paid since February of 23. But as I explained to you, I always overpay. And then when I got onto the customer service agent who dealt with me, I said, please check my last bill. And what he said to me was, I cannot do that now on this system. I need to go to another system. But my supervisor tells me that you're constantly in arrears since February of 23. I said, please check my last bill. And when he went to see my last bill, he actually saw that I was in credit, because I always pay that 2 or 3 quid over every month.
And Neil,
just
Neil,
to get ahead of it.
It almost sounds like a fool. What do you do in real life?
I'm retired, Joe. I'm EMT paramedic.
Yeah, well done. Yep. Good God, you're organised.
Yeah, but like they're taking me. Well, they're taking me to court apparently. So I told them to bring it on, that I'd enjoy that, you know, because they'd be paying for it, you know, and that at the end of the day, because I've all my paperwork, and I don't think any judge would enter, given their performance, I don't think any judge would entertain them, because they're just very, very unprofessional, and they've let a lot of people. Like I'm a legacy, Joe. I took my first account out with Aircom, you know, back in the day, as you said, P7T. Yeah, back in the day, Joe, when I was 24 years of age. So I'm 42 years with, you know, as a customer, and it means absolutely nothing to them.
But you see, it's changed hands so much, and it was liquidated, not liquid, anyway, just on and on.
Yeah,
it goes.
Polished and reunited.
Okay, Neil, good morning. That's Neil and Michael. Back after this. We'll be back on air, literally, after this.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie and 51551 is the text number. Anne in the Midlands. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What happened?
I'll explain what happened. So I had signed up, I think it was back in 2020. I was with AIR for a year. I found the internet connection was very poor. So I notified them a month in advance that I was closing the account and moving to Sky. They then, at the end of that month, they said, I owe them money. I said, I don't owe you any money. And what I started to get in the post was so mortifying. So I was getting a white envelope with a large window on the front of it. And inside was red paper.
Yeah.
Demanding that I pay them 50-something euro.
Red.
And I was so embarrassed. Yes. The paper was red. Yeah. And I was thinking, my postman thinks I'm not paying my bills. It was so evident that the red paper in the white envelope was a letter of demand.
Oh, gosh.
And I got them several times. In the end, I think I paid the 50-something euro, but I did not owe it. But I didn't want to continue getting envelopes with red letters.
And did you? Well, their next step, apparently, which they're quite fast and loose with as well, is sending your name onto Stubbs Gazette. Now they have to stop that. They have to stop that immediately.
Yeah.
They obviously think if they don't start sending your name and other names to Stubbs Gazette, the whole country, the whole company, but they just have to stop that. This is Ireland. People will pay. Yeah. The ESB don't send you to Stubbs Gazette.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was so embarrassing. So embarrassing.
Well, that's one thing they could announce. That's one thing they could announce forthwith. We will not be using Stubbs Gazette. Because it does mortify. You saying you're mortified when you see the red letter.
I was quite friendly with my postman, and every time the red letter came, I was thinking, my postman thinks there's something I'm not paying. And I was really mortified at the idea of that, and it was due to feeling mortified that I think I ended up paying the 50-something euro, which I did not owe.
Yeah.
I did not owe it, and I know I didn't.
You were shamed into paying something you did not owe.
I was shamed into paying something I didn't owe.
Okay, and have you a different supplier now? Provider?
Oh, I have Sky. Yeah, I have Sky.
Okay.
And I find their services quite good.
Okay.
I haven't had any problems with them at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry you were embarrassed like that. It's deeply unfair. They should know. I know they're owned by a multinational now, but the Irish people, sorry, anyone working in Ireland, regardless of where you were born, knows that to frighten Irish people with Stubbs Gazette or a red letter it's a big thing.
Red letter.
Don't be doing it. There's no need. Yeah. You're making enough money out of the Irish market. Okay, Anne, go to Mila Mahogat. Where's
thanks, Joe.
Ron, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How you doing? I'm talking. I texted in about Air Business. About 5 or 6 years ago, they used to go around knocking, cold calling at doors businesses.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time, the deal was great and all the rest of it. And I said, okay, let's do that, sign the papers. And lo and behold, 5 weeks, I was out without broadband, without phone, without anything, on my mobiles.
Yeah.
And my business was just, 5 weeks without it. And Joe, the only way, and I think it's a key word that people haven't mentioned, if you threaten to sue them and bring them to court, or let them say, okay, we're bringing you to court, and go to court, they change their situation. That's what I had to do. Within 24 hours after I said, right, that's it, I'm going to sue you for losses that I've got in the business, within 24 hours, everything was up and running.
But was it the knock on the door that persuaded you to change? Well, obviously they offered you a deal.
Yeah, you know, in business, Joe, you're sort of there at stages. And you're looking at every penny, and you're going, okay, someone knocks on your door and says, look, we can give you this for X amount lower, and, you know, I have the broadband, I have the landlines, I might have 8 or 9 mobiles, you know, so it all adds up, you know. So you're just looking at the best price that you can get. Best bundles, let's say.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a serious thing, like, to be not able to operate in business, you know?
Not exactly.
And when I was listening to one of your previous callers, the lady who was saying about her father, that her father had no broadband and no landline, but also, and this was the thing, she said that his alarm system doesn't work.
Yeah, that was Maeve,
They've broken laws there, left, right, and centre, in my opinion, because the man's house is insured, including his alarm system. So, God forbid, if anything was to happen, his insurance would be null and void because of the knock-on effect of not having his phone lines operating. Yeah. So I would sort of suggest to that lady that she get back onto them and she say, listen, if you don't sort this out, I'm going to take it to court, because not a judge in the land would abide with that, you know.
Okay, Ron, glad. Okay, thanks, Ron. Let me go to Margaret Joyce. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You're in Mayo. What's your story? What's your air tale?
Pretty much the same as a lot of other people. Yeah, they in December. This is going back to 2019, just before the pandemic. And into the pandemic time, and I paid my bill in the beginning of December. The middle of December, they said I hadn't paid it. Got notification. I was going on holidays and I was having surgery and whatnot, and I thought, oh my God, I forgot to pay it. So I paid it again. And January came along, the same thing. I paid it at the beginning of January, and the middle of January, I got notification to say that I hadn't paid.
Again.
So I thought, oh, maybe they just didn't receive it in time or whatever, or they're not up to date, and I left it. I didn't do anything about it. And then in February, I got the same amount again, and that I hadn't paid at all. And so I began ringing them at that stage. Mm-hmm. Now, it's between February and maybe the end of March, beginning of April, I would have spoken to 8 different air.
Okay.
Staff.
Yeah. And eight different people.
At least eight different.
Yeah.
And you wait for half an hour or an hour to get through. And then the pandemic came and they cut me off.
What do you mean? They cut your line off?
Cut the line off altogether.
Why?
Because they said I hadn't paid them. I owed them money. And
during the lockdown, when we generally couldn't leave or go outside your house unless you had permission, they cut off your phone line.
They did, yeah.
Now, remember the ESB during the pandemic, they turned around in fairness and they said that nobody will lose electricity during the pandemic. I know they're...
Absolutely.
So air cut you off in the middle of a lockdown.
Yeah.
A lockdown. They locked you out.
They did. Totally. I'm living on my own and I had surgery on my shoulder. No, it was fine, but they didn't know that. And an absolute disgrace. So I phoned them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, and complained that they had actually knocked me off altogether and that I didn't. I had paid 5 times between December and March, and that
They kept saying you didn't. Did they threaten you with red letters or stubs?
No, stubs. I've gone on to stubs now. I've got letters from stubs and emails.
Oh, you're not serious.
The cheek of them is all I can say. But I got on and I said, you know, that I've been on to, this must have been the 8th person that I was on. I said, I don't know how many people I've spoken to, at least 7. And you have cut me off in the middle of all of this. And nobody can sort my problem. And, we'll reinstall you straight away. And I said, please don't. I wouldn't touch air with a 40-foot pole.
With a 40-foot telecom pole.
And then my contract was up, so they increased the bill to 70.
But are you still getting letters from Stubbs?
Yes.
That's outrageous. Margaret, that's outrageous.
It is outrageous, Joe. It's absolutely outrageous.
That's your credit rating.
Intimidating. And, you know, to say, you know, my credit would be in jeopardy if I was looking for credit and that they'd name me and shame me and all the rest of it. And I just haven't money to go to a solicitor to take them on.
And that's what, I know it's their job, but that's what any company going to Stubbs, that's their, anyway, it should be as a last resort. It seems to be with AIR, it seems to be the initial move.
Do they not investigate the debts that they're taking on?
Yeah. Okay.
To see whether they're legitimate or not. It's absolutely, I'm glad that you're airing, excuse the pun, again.
Again, exactly, again.
And again and again. They're a disgrace, absolutely.
Okay, Margaret. Thanks, Nita's Margaret. I'm sorry to hear that you're in Stubbs. I really am. That's out of order. It's out of order now. Stop it. Stop it putting people into Stubbs. Decent people. Okay, back after this break. Thanks, Margaret.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Paul Fogarty is in Dublin and Sean Kelly. Sean, I'll go to you first. Sean, what happened?
Joe, mine was a slightly different situation. We had moved house and we were with Vodafone, but the Vodafone signal in the area was terrible. It was no use, like, you know. So we got in touch with AIR, and we done a deal with AIR for our televisions, our phone, our Wi-Fi, and two mobiles.
The bundle.
We done the contract over the phone, you know. And they supplied us with two new phones and two new SIM cards. And when they arrived, they said to us that our phones would go off from Vodafone, and within 24 hours, they would come back on as an AIR customer, keeping our existing phone numbers.
Okay.
And 4 months later, the phones come on.
4 months later?
4 months later, the phones came on. And I rang them every day of the week. I haunted them on the phone every day to find out what was going on. And the final draw of the whole thing was I got a guy on the phone. And he basically told me that if I didn't stop ringing or complaining about it, I'd pull all my services.
Good luck. If you didn't stop complaining, they would eliminate your ability to complain by cutting off your line.
By cutting off the television and the phones and the internet, because that was already active. We were waiting on the phones, you know. So we got on to the complaints department and we sent them an email. And the next day we got a phone call back that they got the email and said that they were going to listen to the recorded conversation from this guy and get back to us. And never heard a thing after.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did that go?
Yeah, gone. That was the end of that. Yeah.
Where are you now, so to speak? Where are you with them now?
No, I'm actually still with them, to be honest with you, because we can't get anything else in the area. Now, the service that we have with them is great now. It was just that the 4 months parted from one company to another were, like, was just ridiculous.
Okay. Sean, good to meet you. Sean Kelly. Paul Fogarty in Dublin. Paul, what happened?
Hello, Joe. Okay. I've had several runs in with AIR over the years. And listening to your programme there yesterday, a thing that's happened to me on three occasions I found hadn't come up in your conversations.
Okay.
And it was that you ring AIR with a complaint and you wait for, well, in one instance it was 52 minutes for someone to answer the phone.
For God's sake.
They finally answered the phone. I give them all my details. I go through all the rigmarole of answering all the questions. And they say then, oh, that's not my department. I'll put you on to the right department. And then I said, well, hold on, are you going to leave me hanging on?
Mm-hmm.
She said, no, I'll connect you up. I'll connect you straight away. She makes that connection, and all I hear is hang on music. After about 5 minutes, then eventually the phone is answered. The line is, nobody's at the end of the line. I say hello, and the minute I say hello, they cut me off. But that has happened to me not once, but on three separate occasions. And, you know, it's just not acceptable. And I've had, I think with all of the complaints I've been hearing, I've had several of them. I've gone to Comreg each time, and I've found that Comreg, if you go through the procedures, they'll sort it out.
Yeah, but there's very few people that go. There's very few people that go to know how to go to. No, one, no, you can't. Sorry, one, no, who Comrade is. Two, that you can't go to them, and three, how to go to them.
Yep. Well, one of your researcher there, Owen, asked me would I forward on the response I got from Comrade. I went into my emails and I found that I'd had maybe something like 12 or 15 emails from Comrade. And they have a standard one that says the following, that you have to ask them, you have to first of all make your complaint with AIR. And to do that, you have to go online, download a complaint form, fill that out, send it on. You then have to ask for a complaint reference number. When you have that reference number, they have to acknowledge that within 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't acknowledge it, within 10 days, you go back to Comrade and they will track the complaint till AIR say it's resolved. But I had one instance of that where AIR told Comrade that they had resolved the complaint when they actually hadn't.
Ah.
So that put me back to square one. So they send you around in circles and they just try to wear you down.
And they are wearing a lot of people down, Paul.
Yes, I've been hearing that now for quite a long time, yeah. Not only from your program, but everyone I know, almost everyone I know.
Yeah.
No, I've not yet to hear one person say they're happy with AIR and the service they provide.
Okay. Paul Gourmet, good. Frank Dempsey is in Meath. Frank.
Yes, indeed, Joe. Well, that man has just described the procedure of going to Comrade, which, as you rightly say, not a lot of people are aware of. But my almost a 102-year-old aunt who was dependent on a phone line at that time, and she was out. But all you were getting from AIR was, for about 4 weeks, was very simply emails to tell you or text to tell you, oh, we're looking at it, we're looking at it, we're appointing someone. Now, somebody eventually came out and he came to the door and he explained, okay, between exchange and the house, we've discovered that there's a line down, but you're going to have to wait now until the work was allotted to a subcontractor. He decides to order the material. So that part then I wasn't happy with. We were gone 5 weeks down the road. I went through the process then of escalating it to Comrade. Now, this 102-year-old lady, Joe, is totally dependent at that time on this for her panic button, which is monitored on a 24/7 basis. So for this period, she's out. But Comrades then do exactly as your previous speaker there actually described. They tell you you have to contact AIR and get a complaint number. AIR won't give you a complaint number. I persisted with Comrades for a few days and they eventually decided that they would take it up with AIR. They did that, and as soon as the AIR felt that they were getting pressure from Comrades, within about 6 days, the matter was sorted. Now, that may seem to the very vulnerable lady, but there were 30 people in the immediate area, not all elderly, but 30 people whose lines were down. The only one that was put right was the one for my dear aunt, simply because it had been escalated to Comrade. But it's a long, drawn-out process, and Comrade need to make it a little simpler for people. My aunt, how would she sort herself out at 102 years of age, wouldn't even be able to open a computer? And the line is faulty, and it goes down about every 6 months, in any case, for the last 15 years, and they haven't done a thing. So the AIR do not provide any kind of service, quite honestly.
Yeah, but I say, have we got that clip again from Oliver Looms, Harry, about 27 complaints? I think it was the second clip we played. Is Oliver there? Are you there, Oliver?
Again, I'd have to say, historically, AIR did not always get it right. But we're very tuned into that. We're very aware of it. We're interested in that, and we're learning from it, and we're improving. And, and I can point to some kind of fairly hard evidence on that. I mean, we used to get 600 complaints a month, and we now have 27, I think, in the last month. So
to Comrade, absolutely.
So we have something like 5, and we have 2 million customers. You've got to remember, it's a big business. So I think on a monthly basis, 0.001% of our customers have a complaint and go to Comrade. So it's a fraction of what it was.
Infraction. Okay, can we hear the other clip as well? I'm beginning to like Oliver's voice. The other clip there, Harry, please.
We now answer our calls within 2 minutes. We're transforming, and I'm not saying we're perfect. You've always got to be hunting and looking for areas to improve. So, you know, we're investing in better billing systems, for example, etc. So that people always have accurate billing systems, bills, etc. So, you know, it is true that there's kind of some legacy stuff, but we're fixing it, and it's good now, I would say.
And if you're answering calls within 2 minutes, how much of that is actual humans and how much will you have to increasingly rely on AI, chatbots, artificial intelligence, machine learning to automate some of this? Because you can presumably predict a lot of the questions and problems that are arising day to day for customers.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I say, the first thing is, you know, just to say we do have more than 500 AIR employees around the country talking to customers when they call in. You know, I am interested over time in how we use AI, etc., to, you know, make sure that you get a better answer to customers quicker. You know, all customers don't necessarily want to talk to someone. So you've got to, you know, we're very tuned into how we leverage emerging technology to better service customers, to be honest with you, you know. And yeah, maybe that has some cost benefits to the company, etc., but really it's about always hunting for ways to leave customers feeling better about their experience with AIR.
What ways are you using AI, ChatGPT already in AIR? Is that already in the functionality that we see a lot if you go in and log in writing a request that the first few responses are automated?
Yeah, well, we do kind of leverage kind of bot technology, etc., to understand what a customer wants to talk about, etc., and to channel them in the right direction. We use AI, for example, you know, in terms of some of our infrastructure, for example, to understand, you know, when can we turn off power, you know, when you've got less usage on your infrastructure, etc., when you can you turn that off to minimize costs and minimize the use of resources. So we're leveraging AI in lots of different ways across different parts of the company.
Joe@rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
You heard Oliver Loom's voice there before the break. We now have been sent in an email that Mr. Looms has sent to all staff today. I want to thank the staff member who sent it in to us. Good afternoon. Only went out just after midday today. I want to address the recent media coverage regarding the court proceedings between AIR and Comreg. As many of you will have noted from reports in the media yesterday and this morning, AIR was present in court to respond to issues concerning service levels provided to 10 of our customers during 22-23. In court, AIR acknowledged and apologised for not achieving the high service standards we commit to and expect related specifically to the management and resolution of these customers' official complaints. We recognise the importance of adhering to regulatory procedural steps in such matters. Unfortunately, in these instances, we fell short. Consequently, we pleaded guilty to these charges, having expressed their sincere apologies to the affected customers. But it's important to note, Mr. Looms goes on in this internal memo to staff sent out within the last 2 hours, it's important to note, however, that the majority of media coverage is centred on aspects not directly related to details of the case as presented in court. During yesterday's court session, Comreg made serious and incorrect allegations against AIR, accusing the company of instructing care agents to not comply with regulatory obligations. They selected portions of two training slides without context, which led the judge to believe we were deliberately training agents to be non-compliant. Their interpretation of these portions of the slides was incorrect. The situation could have been clarified and possibly avoided if Comreg had approached AIR for a direct discussion prior to the court hearing, but that did not happen. By the way, AIR were represented by serious legal professionals in court yesterday. Every day in AIR, Mr. Looms writes, I hear stories of employees who go above and beyond for all customers, from our technicians who show such respect in people's homes, here, to our agents who are kind and helpful on calls. Since these service lapses noted by the court, we continue to improve and we now average consistent call, you've heard this numerous times on the programme, we played the clip, consistent call wait times of 2 minutes and a record low in the complaints as per the latest Comreg report. Well, you heard the caveats we entered there earlier on. I'm fully aware we have legacy issues, so some customers don't always experience the level of service they should expect. But overall, our customer experience has improved significantly in recent years. However, that doesn't make a great headline. The portrayal of these events in the media has been disappointing, impacting our reputation and overshadowing the commitment and hard work of our team. I want to assure you, finishes Mr. Looms, that while we do acknowledge that the training material could have been better worded, AIR fully complies with Comreg complaints procedure and has a dedicated specialist team in place tasked with ensuring all complaints following the Comreg process accurately and quickly. As a senior management team, we are all focused on improving our customer experience at every touch point, and we know how hard everyone in AIR works to achieve this too. We're engaging directly with the media. Hello? Is that you, Oliver? Is that you, Oliver? We are engaging directly with the media to answer their questions and ensure AIR's voice is heard. Well, you want to hear your voice? 0818 715 815, joe@rte.ie, 51551. Grace.
Hello, Joe.
Let's hear your voice.
What's your
Stubbs Gazette? This is totally out of order, Oliver, if you're listening.
This really was something else. So 4 years ago, I personally returned the aircom modem with my mother, who's quite elderly and has Parkinson's, and we returned it and filled out all the paperwork, and she moved to Vodafone. The signal was very bad. But they never cancelled the direct debit charge every month. So every month it would add up and add up. And we were into several hundred euros. But we could not get through to AIR. And finally, after about a month on the phone, we got through to them. And they said, yes. I said, we've returned this. Oh, yes, no problem. But we will call you to cancel it. And I was like, but can I not? I'm talking to you now. Please cancel this.
Okay.
They said, no, we'll call you. So obviously, nobody called us. So now we didn't have a service. We didn't have a modem.
Yeah.
And they kept billing us every month. Eventually, my poor mother ended up in Stubbs and was getting these really threatening letters in the post. So I rang Stubbs Gazette and I said, okay, so the AIR is saying we owe them 300 euros. We don't owe them 300 euros.
Okay.
What will you accept of nearly a blackmail payment sending her these threatening letters?
You were negotiating. Yes, okay.
Exactly, lovely. just to end this nightmare. So we agreed a fee of 100 euros after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, which I paid. And 2 weeks later, another threatening letter from AIR. And on it went again. And I actually rang your offices a year and a half ago and explained what happened. Now, you weren't doing a feature on AIR at the time, but I spoke to a lovely girl. And she actually sent a message from your company to AIR.
Right.
And they called me. And he said, I'm very sorry, and this shouldn't have happened. And I said, okay, but, you know, can you please resolve? This is now over. You'll never hear from us again. Next month, another threatening letter. And it still continues to this day. My mother is still getting emails and threatening letters from AIR. 4 years, paid it, Stubbs Gazette, several phone calls. To this day, she's still getting letters from AIR threatening everything under the sun.
And Stubbs Gazette. They put her in Stubbs Gazette.
They put her, and I had to pay the 100 euros, even though we didn't owe the money.
And I presume your mother knew she was in Stubbs Gazette.
This was the threat of it, and she was, you know, because for especially older people, that is, very big people. Her generation do check these, and she was really, really embarrassed. So I had to pay the money to take her name and out of stuff.
Are you there, Oliver?
There you go.
Are you there, Oliver? Listen to that story. Put out a statement this afternoon. AIR will no longer be using Stubbs Gazette. Full stop. Rosaline, thanks, Grace, and kind regards to all.
Thank you very much.
Rosaline.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
What happened?
On the 13th of February, I took out a subscription for TV and broadband with AIR.
Okay.
And to this date, I don't have television or broadband. I've had every excuse under the sun. Engineers or technicians, whatever they're called, can't climb a ladder because I've got external insulation.
Surely that's normal. These days.
Of course it's normal. Every second house has insulation. Yes. They wanted me to, they were installing an eye bolt. They needed me to get somebody else to drill the hole for this eye bolt. The man I got said he would need to take a 15-inch square out of my insulation to install this bolt. I eventually found somebody who did external insulation. Okay. And he said there was no need at all for any of that.
And Rosalina, you're getting all these requests from air. You still have no telly, by the way.
I have no
broadband or whatever. And then you have to go and source some fella or some person who will take out a bit of insulation. Yeah. You eventually find him. He says, "Sure, Rosalina, there's no need."
Absolutely none whatsoever.
So what are you going to do
it's
now?
Just an excuse. I think I may have to go to Plan B, Joe, because listening to your callers for the last hour or so, whatever length of time I switched on the radio, it's disgraceful what's going on.
And what's Plan B, Rosalina?
I don't know that I can say it. I think you get my interest.
Plan B.
You know the direction I'm going, and so does everybody else listening in.
Well, you're going through the roof.
But it's fine. Joke about it, but it's disgraceful.
I know it is, and
people. It's 2024.
You see, and that's, and I think it's people. I think up to this, people thought, you have a problem with your phone. Get over it. It's a first world problem. There's people starving in wherever.
Me included
which is understandable. But now we're discovering a lot more. We're realising a lot more things depend on your phone, your alarm, ringing the guards, ringing your family if you're living on your own, your phone watch. Fire. It's really, really important. Really important. And then this other thing that they're going around dumping on people, saying we're putting you into Stubbs Gazette. It's just really awful. It is awful.
Stop it.
What do they want? Do they want older people on this program crying and begging them to stop harassing them with Stubbs Gazette?
But they're not going to stop. I rang yesterday.
Okay.
To make
two words. Two words for Oliver. Royal Mail. Gary Fannigan, stay there, Rosalina. Gary.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
What happened?
Oh, it was a couple of years ago, just before my mother died. Her service went down with air. Sent them letters, not because you couldn't get to speak to a human on the phone. So then eventually we stopped the direct debit, but the bills kept coming. Eventually the Stubbs letter arrived. I sent them copies of the correspondence I had sent to air. And eventually, by that time, my mother had died. Eventually, they came back and said the amount has been expunged. File closed. But when I first got the Stubbs thing, I thought, I said, let's have some fun with this. We just let it accumulate. We go and sit before a judge and see what he'll say.
Okay.
But it never got to that stage. And I fear that, you know, a lot of people won't get that chance. But you don't want it hanging over you at the same time. And another thing, Joe, I feel for the people in there. There are a lot of good people in there.
Here.
A lot of people
Absolutely.
Have passed through there.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of good people.
Yeah.
They must be cringing because there's just the coordination has just gone. And I'm around long enough to remember when the P&T were together. And OnPus is now a very vibrant, successful organisation.
Mm.
And you can see it and you can feel it. It's such a pity that AIR has gone to where it's at today. And they're responsible for such a lot of our comms infrastructure nationally. That's a concern if they don't get their act together.
And the CEO, you mentioned on post, and a lot of people, including myself, are very, and industry peers are very complimentary about on post and the work they've done. And
yes.
I also would take your point that the frontline people you meet in on post are the same in many ways. The frontline people you meet in air, decent, hardworking
yes.
men and women. David McRedmond, who's CEO of Unpost, as you know.
Yes, and is super guy.
Credited with turning it around and with the help, obviously, and he'll say it before I ever did, with the help of all the staff. But he's non-executive chairman of AIR. So obviously he doesn't run it day to day, but maybe he'll call a board meeting and see can they put a shape on this crisis, which is bringing them.
Yeah, I don't have the answers, Joe, but I just think that it's the coordination is gone. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And they own an awful lot of our comms infrastructure, as you say.
Yes, true.
Yeah. On an island economy. Okay, good to meet you, Gary Fannigan, Rosaline.
Okay, thanks Joe.
Indeed. Annette Egan produced. Ray Darcy is next. Are you there, Oliver?
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe at rte.ie.